This morning, I want to share about a tribal group called the Iski tribal group. They are tucked away in a very remote place, approximately 3,500 people within that language group. And they came to know, a number of them came to know the Lord within the year of 2017, in May of 2017. So a year ago, the presentation came to them within their own language, and so some exciting things of what God is doing within these different tribal areas. So as Lloyd has introduced me, and I think as you guys are probably very well aware, New Tribe's mission goes into really remote places, all right? So it's an organization that says, if other people will not do it, we will do it. We will go into those remote places. We will build an airstrip, or we'll go in there with a helicopter, and we are going to reach these unreached people groups with the gospel. Where do you start? If you land in a certain place, you've got to do a survey. You got to check to see, are these people even interested in having you there? Like, I mean, if they have got their bows and arrows pulled on you and they're saying, we don't want you in here. Okay, well, hello, you know, I think we've got the vibe that maybe this is not the right place to go in. And so we will be assessing and seeing where we can go to talk to these people about Jesus Christ. We have a curriculum that we go through, and that curriculum has been tweaked and put together in such a way that it will resonate really well with the tribal people. And we are so excited about that curriculum. Right now, I just want to quickly mention there is a curriculum right here that this, you can come and look at the table in the back later on. It's a curriculum that is for First Nations and also for any discipleship group that you'd like to get started with, like within the church. It's 40 lessons that you'll go through in the beginning, and then it jumps into another stage. So it's phase teaching. You go through that process, and you're building on your foundation of a house. So I know this is kind of like a small picture, and those of you that are probably a little older than me might have a hard time seeing this. Those that are young, you guys are probably seeing it right from the back. Okay, maybe not. All right. Anyway, laying the foundation from the bottom up, and you're going through a stage at over here, 40 lessons. You're going through another stage over here, your security in Christ. And then up here, you're going through Acts, Romans, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, and Titus. And you're laying all these foundations so that they're able to understand God's word clearly. So what's the first thing when you've built your house in a tribe? What's the first thing that comes to your mind that you need to do? Learn the language. Yes. Learn the language and the culture with that these people have. And if you do not know the culture with the language, and you're just like learning in your office, excuse me, in your office, and you don't get out there with the people, you're not going to understand some things about the language that actually are pertinent, you know, to, as you say it, that it actually flows well with their culture. So you will learn their language, and then you'll do a translation of lesson material. And as you do that translation of that lesson material, you also are going to be looking at the translation of scripture that goes with those lessons. And as you go through these lessons, you're going to be laying proper foundation. I've got this poster over here. Some people have heard, we've heard about New Tribe's mission. Actually, I don't know. Sorry, I've been saying New Tribe's, but New Tribe's mission's name has changed. Have you guys heard that? Yeah, and here I've been saying New Tribes. I'm so used to it. My wife and I, we've been part of New Tribes mission for 21 years, and so now I've got to switch gears. Can somebody help me? What's the name, the new name? Ethnos. Yeah, okay, so very good. Ethnos is the new name On the back of our prayer card, if you want to know more information about why the word ethnos, on the back of our prayer card in there, there's a Bible passage that talks about all nations, reaching all nations, and ethnos is referring to that. Okay, so ethnos is actually going out into remote places, and they will be laying foundational teaching. So we've got over here, we've got the promises of the deliverer. Okay, sorry. I'll just do this for the folks that are on this side. Promises of the deliverer. Can anybody tell me how many promises there are in the scriptures of the deliverer that's to come? Or, well, he's come already, we know that. But if you were a person that was an unbeliever, how many promises are out there for you to know that this man, Jesus Christ, or that there's a Messiah that's supposed to come? Anybody? Any guesses? Don't look on Google. 699? No. Less? There's 350. 350 promises of the Messiah. Isn't that special? God has orchestrated for you and I to know in the Old Testament scriptures that there's a Messiah coming. There's a deliverer coming. And we can see that within, and I'm going to quickly just do this. We can see that within a verse like this, right away in Genesis 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, 15. All right, take a good look. It's unbelievable, guys. In Genesis 3, God is already saying that there's a promised one coming. And as we start to tell these people, you know, they start to understand, wow, there's a promised one coming. There's a promised one coming. Who is this promised one? I want to know who this promised. These are the tribal people that have been sometimes inundated by different church groups coming in and trying to reach out to them, but they have no clear understanding of the foundational teachings that are within Scripture. And so for us as ethnos, what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to lay those proper foundations right from the beginning so that they're going to have a clear understanding. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So we see here that there's the first promise that God has put into Scripture for us to be able to know that the promised one, the Messiah, is coming. If you have your Bibles with me, or with you, sorry, I have mine with me, but if you have yours with you, turn to John chapter 4, okay? And we're going to read through this. And it takes a little bit longer to read through, but I feel it's important when we are here in the Lord's house, meeting together, singing, worshiping, and then look in Scripture and let's glean from it there a little bit. So John chapter 4. All right. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea to return to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this is a very deep well. Where would you get this living water? And besides, besides, are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his cattle enjoy? And Jesus replied, people soon become thirsty again after drinking this water. But the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me some of that water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to haul water. Go and get your husband, he said. Jesus told her, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father here or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know so little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah will come, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples arrived, and they were astonished to find him talking to a woman. But none of them asked him why he was doing it or what they had been discussing. The woman left her water jar beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah? Interesting that she says, can this be the Messiah? He just said, I am the Messiah. But now she's still doubting, right? So anyways, verse 30. So the people came streaming from the village to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat. No, he said, I have food you don't know about. Who brought it to him? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready now for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one person plants and someone else harvests. And it's true, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and you will gather the harvest. Amazing passage. Thank you, Father, for, boy, we just read your word and how much information is within that passage. And as we just look a little bit at it today, may we be encouraged, may we be challenged, and may we understand that you have a desire for people, more people, to know about this Messiah. Thank you. Father, just going through the rest here, may you go before me, and as I speak, that it will resonate well with everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I told you that I was going to talk a little bit about the Iski tribe. Iski tribe has three missionary families, but if I can kind of picture it, for you to picture it this way, we have the Enapong tribe over here, okay? Enapong is this keyboard, all right? Enapong, all right? Over here, you have the Tongwat tribe. And then over here, this keyboard, we have the Iski tribe. So Enapong, over here, they learned about God's word. And they had missionaries come in, and they said, we want missionaries. So they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They came to understand about who the Messiah was and is. All right, so they've come to that understanding. Tongwat over here says, you know what? man, you guys have something that we don't have. And you guys have understood some things out of Scripture that we have never heard about. So can you guys come and teach us? So these guys, the elders and the believers, they came over this way and they started teaching the Tongwat people. And the Tongwat people became believers. And the Tongwat people are kind of like another dialect, but they're so different in their language that there needs to be a translation done over here and a translation done over here. And what Ethnos works on is portions of the Old Testament and then also of the New Testament, to do in the New Testament in its entirety. So you have Enopong, Tongwat, and Iski. Iski says, guys, we have seen something happen in Enopong and also in Tongwat. We want that. So now all of a sudden, it just starts unfolding that, like, what do? We don't have enough missionaries to go to Iski. But then there was three missionary families that came in, one from Paris, France, and two from America. And they said, we're looking for a tribe to go into. Which tribe do we go? And so as leadership, we would look at them and we would say, okay, you guys could possibly go into Iski, but you guys kind of got to go in there to assess and to see what it looks like. So they went in, and the chief of that tribe, he said, we have actually moved our houses from in the deeper parts of the jungle, and we have moved into this area, and we're waiting for a missionary to come and live amongst us. Can you just imagine the hunger that those people had? Like, unbelievable. And then here this guy says, when you guys come, we will help you in learning our language, and we'll do our utmost to see that we can understand this message of God's word that these other guys have heard about. And so these missionary families went with helicopter, landed in this area, and you'll see some of that on a video in a few minutes. And they went through the process of learning language, culture, and then started doing translation of the lesson material and of Scripture. And they're still working on it. I mean, it takes years and years. People who are committed to be able to do this, to leave their families, and to say, I am going to be devoted to serve God in a remote place where like, I don't have all the conveniences of life around me. My wife and I, we worked in a tribe for 11 years, and not having the conveniences around me, I mean, she is a great cook, and I love her cooking, but sometimes she needs a break. And where does she go for a break when she's in a tribe? And sometimes the support group, such as Lloyd and Donna, what they would do is they would help the missionaries. They might even prepare a meal and even send it on the airplane to a tribe to just relieve them a little bit. Those things are huge blessings, huge for us that are in the remote places. So these three families in Iski, they went in, they learned the language, and they started doing the translation of these things. But do you think missionaries get weary? Absolutely. I was just about burnt out. I don't even, can't believe that I'm feeling emotional just even talking or saying that word, burnt out. We left the field for this home assignment in June. And in June, we're going back. June 7th. I look forward to going back. I look forward to being a part of ministry. But when I came out, I was tired. I was weary. And I sat in my backyard here in Canada, and I just looked at the grass that was long, and I thought, well, that grass needs to be cut, but I'm not going to cut it. I just didn't have energy. And it's interesting how all of a sudden you come where you're feeling like you just don't have enough to give. And we had to work with the Iski tribe as leaders. We had to talk with them. We had to have them come out of the tribe and have meetings. They were coming to the stage of where they're going in their teaching of all their lessons. They're coming to the stage of presenting the death, burial, resurrection of this Messiah. They were coming to this stage, but they were not united in some of the things in their way of thinking, such as strategy for what's going on and how we're going to move ahead in the tribe. And so as they had these struggles, we as leadership were kind of evaluating and saying, do we pull the plug? Do we pull the plug on these three families to say, you guys are struggling so much that we feel it is so important for God's word to go with a clean slate that you guys are not at odds with each other? And so my coworker and I, who in leadership, we said, let's phone them up. They had a phone cell service deep in the middle of the jungle. We said, hey guys, we're going to want to meet with you guys as a team on the phone. So if you guys could get together, we're out at the support center, and we want to talk with you guys. So we get on the phone and we say, we got some news. We've been hearing about how you guys have been struggling, and we're feeling before the Lord, we're feeling so serious about this right now that we are considering asking you to come out for just a week or two so that we can talk over things and pray about and work through some of this stuff that's going on. And they're like, we're like a week away from finishing the presentation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Guys, it is so much more important that we're unified and that we can work together. But if there's sin in the camp, I don't know if there's going to be anybody that's going to come to know the Lord in the tribe. So for us, it's more important. They saw the seriousness and they heard it within our voice, and they thought, okay, can we? One thing that we're realizing is that it's not necessarily sin that we're facing here. It's more about strategy. And it's just that we're looking at strategy and we're just, that person thinks this way and this person thinks this way. And so we're feeling like we can still move ahead and present the gospel. And as we listened to them on the phone, we could see that there was a genuine of heart, that they were working together and dealing with things that came up. When someone would get upset, they apologized and there was forgiveness. And they did this back and forth. Sounds like a marriage almost, doesn't it? I encourage you, if you're struggling even within your marriage, apologize. Don't feel like you're too beyond apologizing. It's important. So, you have these three missionary families. So we said, okay, you guys stay in, and then once you're done this teaching, then we want you to come out, all of you. And so there was extra costs that had to go into flying them out and to see that that would happen. Anyways, they came out. They presented the gospel. 130-some people came to know the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. And what I want to do right now is I want to show you this video. And as you see these people, there's going to be reading. There's a lot of subtitles and that. So take your time to read. It's going to go through quickly. Be ready for it. And just be encouraged with what God has done within the Iski tribe. And then I'll come up right after that.
Thank you. Ang mangokera.
Ani matezi.
Isn't that amazing? Why don't you, just take some and we're clapping because we're praising God. Look at verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, what was he? He was tired from the long walk. He sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Isn't that amazing that Jesus, our Savior, he sat beside the well, tired from his long walk, from his journey? Jesus, who is 100% God and 100% man. The physical side, the emotional, the spiritual, he understood it all. And he felt it. And this passage encouraged me tremendously. You know what? We're involved in ministry. We're involved in ministry nonstop. We are tired at times and we are weary. Now, in this, I looked at another section of this passage. Number of things that really resonated with me. Number one was Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. She is just said before that in verse 25, I know the Messiah will come. So she's already familiar with that as a Samaritan woman. She knows the Messiah is going to come. Now he reveals it to her. And then later on, when the disciples are ready to give him some food and they say, you should eat something, he says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. You know what? He was tired and he was weary. Man, when I'm tired and weary, I think I'd like to snack. I'd like to have some food or something, you know, just to help me. And here, what does he do? He says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. These certain sections of the passage really encouraged me. Do you think the work of the harvest will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready now for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. That joy, that's what that nourishment is about. You're going to feel joy when you are involved in ministry and you know that this is what God has for you to do. I am totally pumped and excited about what God is going to do in and through me as I go back. Because all I know is that God wills it for me to go. And that as I'm obedient to that and as I go, He is going to do something through me, and I have no idea what, and I'm not worried about it. I don't need to be. He's going to do what he sees fit through me. He's going to challenge me in different ways to speak to people, to evangelize, to encourage missionaries, or to maybe exhort, or he's going to do all of that. And all I have to do is be obedient, and what joy awaits me. There is joy in that. I shared in the beginning, you have Enopong, Tongwat, and then Iski. When was it? September? In September of 2017, as we were on a road trip, we got an email from the Iski team, and they said, "Guys, there's another tribe, and this tribe is saying, we have seen what has happened in Iski, and we have seen what has happened in Tongwat and Enopong, and we need missionaries." September of 2017. "Guys, we don't have enough missionaries. They need someone to translate God's word into their language. We need someone that's going to be saying, you know what? I'm willing to do what God has for me. And I'm willing to go because I know that even though there's going to be hardships and difficulties, there's going to be the nourishment of the joy of the Lord in my life." There's over 2,500 language groups that are still waiting for a translation in their language. Some people have said, "Oh, the year 2025, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but that there's this year 2025, they're hoping that all languages will have God's word within their language. I can't see that happening, because I look at the amount of missionaries that come to the field, and I just think, man, we're short-staffed and we just can't do it. So it comes down to me being before you guys, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to think that there are tribal people that are lost in sin, and they still believe their old traditional habits. This is something that a witch doctor would have, and he would go around the fire as he's trying to heal. The house is just packed, and the house would be about this big, packed with maybe 30 people in it. And he's going around this fire, and he's going to be trying to tap into the spirit world and find out where the spirit of this sick man has gone. And he's going to try to heal this person that's sick. I've sat there in the house with these people when they're doing this kind of thing. People need the Lord. We need missionaries. I'm here before you guys pleading, asking you to evaluate in your own lives and say, God, is this what you have for me? Am I to be one of those people that is supposed to go out beyond my borders and into another land to be able to present the gospel? If God is challenging you this morning, please, please pick up a prayer card and pray for us, but then also email me and say, man, you know what? God was moving within my life today, and I feel God is asking me to be involved in ministry like that. And that would encourage me tremendously, but I also, then I can be praying for you, and we can get other people praying for you to be able to help you in this process of knowing, where do we go from here? So one thing I wanted to mention, two, just in closing, about 3 weeks ago, we had another tribal work, the Menya tribe. They had just finished their presentation of all this curriculum and everything with their tribal people. And that tribal group also has come to know, there's a number of people, not the whole tribe, obviously, but a number of people have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It took 10 years from the time that the missionaries landed in that airstrip to build houses, to actually learn the language, and to work with the translation and all of that, it took 10 years. 10 years of their life. Was it worth it? Absolutely. Because they've got the small group of people now that have said, we believe in Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to be also with the College and Career, and I encourage you to come because I want to show you another little video, shorter than this one, just of those people that came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you for your time. Let's close in our time in prayer, and then we'll have the group come up with the last song. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you that there are people that are faithful to spreading the gospel in different places. And we're thankful that God's word has come here to us too. Someone has talked to us about your word. If it's either been through our parents or our grandparents or maybe a friend. And then maybe just that totally unknown person that has come up to us and said, can I share the gospel with you? So, Lord, we praise you for those people who are evangelizing in the community here and then also in the places beyond. And, Lord, we just ask that you stir hearts and create more laborers to be involved in your ministry. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Terry was speaking, I was just really hit by the part of those missionaries who are on the field who've answered the call and yet are feeling burnt out and tired in the faith. And I would just like to, as we sing this next song, invite him and his wife up and then the elders of the church to come and leaders to come and lay your hands and pray on them, pray over them and just send them off with blessing. But also, especially as we're singing this verse, who is he that makes me happy? Who is he that gives me peace? Who is he that brings me comfort and turns the bitter into sweet? Who is stirring up my passion? Who is rising up in me? And who is filling up my hunger with everything I need? I just want to kind of declare this over the missionaries, the people who are kind of in those unreached people groups, that they would just be refreshed and encouraged as they sit before the Lord, as they let him speak to their hearts, just that the Holy Spirit would minister to them and cause them to be effective in their ministry, but also that they would know that their primary calling is not their ministry, but it's just their position to be loved by Jesus and to love him back. And that can never be taken away. So, yeah, I invite you two to come up and the elders and pastors of this church as we sing this last song. And everyone else can stand.
Rose of Sharon, he is Yahweh, the righteous Son, he is Yahweh, the three in one, he is Yahweh. Who is he that makes me happy? that gives me peace. Who is he that brings me comfort and turns the bitter into sweet? Who is stirring up my passion? Rising up in me. Who is filling up my hunger with everything I need? Oh. Greater God, He is Yahweh. The great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Son Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh. Yahweh. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh. Creator God, He is Yahweh. The great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh.
Success stories and just the power of the gospel to change lives again as well. If any of you need someone to talk to this morning, please stay back. There's lots of us that would love to pray with you or talk with you if you're going through some tough stuff. If you've got more questions about Ethnos, I was going to say new tribes again, but Ethnos, and you want to talk to Terry and Rosie, they're here for that. And so they've also got a display table at the back. Take some time to check that out. And if you want to know more about missions and that kind of stuff, I'd love to talk with you about that myself and share more of my experience with you. And in closing, I just want to invite you to bow your heads with me and let's remember the missionaries from this congregation that are out there in other countries even right now. So Jesus Christ, as we have tried to lift your name high and honor and glorify you again this morning, I pray that you will, I know that you've seen where that comes from in our hearts. You've seen the love that we have for you. And I pray that it's been a blessing and something very meaningful to you as we've